Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and we'll read through and probably till I stop. How about that? It says, amen. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Amen. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know no, I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her.
Amen.
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 Precious Lord, we thank you this morning, and we thank you for Mary. We thank you for her being highly favored or full of grace. Father God, what a wonderful example of radical obedience we find in the person of Mary. Mary was obedient. Mary did not ask questions. And Father God, sometimes we ask too many questions when you tell us what you need us to do. Father God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would give us on this Christmas the wonderful gift of radical obedience. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody say, "Pastor, talk about radical obedience on Christmas." What's it mean to be radical? We know what it means to be radical. It means to be willing to die for what you believe. It means being willing to fight for what you believe. It means being really ready and willing to give everything for what you believe. Radical obedience will rearrange your plans. It will change your career. It will mess with your agenda.
Amen.
Bible talks about four types of soils in Matthew and Luke, and I believe in Mark, and I'm not going to go there. But it's talking about one soil was, the seed was thrown on hard pan. The ground was hard, so hard the seed would just stand there and the birds would come and get it. The second one was grown on stony ground. Okay? Stony ground. You look around and see all the seats. See all the empty seats. Most of them folks were stony ground folks. Okay? And then the seed go out there for a little while and go down and it hit the rock pan and it would pop up. It's just enough soil to make it come up, but not enough soil where it can go down and get the water that it needs. So when adversity came, and when the sun starts shining on it, burning right on up. And then you have another group of folks that was on thorny ground. And they'll work with the Lord. They'll hang with the Lord. They'll go to church until issues come up. And they got situations and jobs and children and all kind of things. And the Bible says it chokes out the plan. And then you have something that's on good ground. And the root has gone down real deep. And nothing can stop this type of believer from producing.
Amen.
Mary was what God called highly favored. And somebody said, well, that doesn't mean she was favored over everybody else. The favor means grace. The Bible says she was full of grace. Full of grace. Grace does wonderful things for us. And we know what the wonderful thing grace does, it saves us. Let me say, for by grace are you saved. But let's look at our story. Let's look at this call to radical obedience. What does it mean? What are you trying to get at, Pastor? Let me read the last part of this text just one more time for your hearing. Okay? Now here we know Mary, virgin, never been touched by a man, espoused to Joseph. And the angel comes to her in verse number 28. And the angel came to Mary, and it says, the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, the Bible said Mary was troubled, okay? And the trouble that she was different than the trouble that Zacharias was or the trouble that Sarah was when the angel came to them, okay? They had doubts. Zacharias asked for a sign, and Sarah laughed. Mary was just troubled because she asked one question. She said, how are we going to do this? Seeing that I've never known a man. Okay? That was her question. She was like, I'm not doubting we can do this, but you're just going to have to tell me how because I've never heard of a woman having a baby never not being with a man. That's all Mary was saying. Okay? That's all she was saying. How are we going to do this if I've never been with a man? And then the angel answered her. Okay? The angel answered her. And the angel answered and said unto her, now this is a great answer. This is a great answer. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Okay? Now Mary had to have faith to believe that could happen, and we have to have faith to believe that that did happen. See, you ain't understand the word of God without faith. See, you sit here struggling. I don't understand the word of God. I don't understand the word of God. It don't open me. It don't move me. Ask God to give you faith to believe.
Amen.
Say, God, give me faith to believe the word of God. And that's a good prayer.
Amen.
That's a good prayer. Give me faith to believe because, listen, Bible says I can't go to heaven without believing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I need faith to believe because I don't want to. Not go to heaven. Okay? Not going to talk about the other place today. Now watch this now. Now watch Mary. See, radical faith or radical obedience asks very few questions. See, what we do, we'll question our way out of a blessing from God. Cause we going for. I gotta talk to Matthew about it. I gotta call somebody else up. And you know, God has asked me to do this, and I gotta call 9 other people. I gotta talk to my boss. I gotta talk to my kids. I gotta talk to my wife. I gotta talk to my. Mary didn't talk to nobody. Okay, she didn't now, and it was gonna change her life. Okay, she was engaged. Not like we get engaged. See, you can get engaged in America 5 times. They'll leave you at the altar. Her getting pregnant while she's engaged, in that day, she'd have been stoned. At the very least, ostracized and kicked out of the village. Now watch this, though. Then Mary said to the angel, verse 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And she said, send to the angel, because she knew this angel represents God. So this angel knew everything about her. Okay? Now, her family would have doubted her, and the people of the village of Nazareth would have doubted her. But Mary's talking to this angel saying, seeing I know not a man. You know that I've never even had a man kiss me or touch me. Okay? This is what Mary's saying to the angel. And this is Gabriel. Gabriel means man of God. Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, not the son of Joseph. Okay? And Mary, not the mother of God. Son of God. Now watch. Great faith. Get special treatment. God's going to do something special for Mary. Because he knew Mary was a radical in her obedience. Would be radical in her obedience. And then he gives her this. He says, verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her. Usually when you're pregnant, you get to the sixth month, you're usually home free. The sixth month with her, your old auntie, who you call barren, who probably cried at night because she was barren. In those days, women didn't want to be barren. Women wanted children. Okay? To be called barren was to be mocked and humiliated. It was a term of humiliation. And her auntie was called barren. In the past tense, was called barren. She ain't barren no more. She's 6 months with a child. And we don't know how old she was. Could have been 70, could have been 80. We don't know. But here's the key verse. See, here's the key verse. Here's what we miss. Here's what we miss when God calls us. We immediately go to ourselves. What can I do? Or what can I do? Or what can I do? Or what can I do? God said, you can't do nothing for me. Okay? God never call any of us to do something for us with our own strength.
Amen.
Why? Because what we do for God in our own strength is tainted. It's tainted, and we're going to take credit for it. And we're going to say, well, you know what, God, I'm doing all this for you. Okay? See, then when some folks get all upset, and we got to put their names on the walls, on every pew, and then you got to put the names on the building, and names on their parking space. There they are. Because they're doing it on their own strength.
Amen.
See, when you're doing for God, you ain't taking credit for nothing. Okay? I'm just being serious. Now watch this now. Here's what God is. Here's how God is reinforcing Mary, getting ready for Mary for this great task that she has. He says this, the angel, speaking for God. He says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Okay? Some of us right now are facing impossible stuff. Things that we look at and say, man, this is going to be impossible for me to deal with. This situation I'm in is an impossible situation. Listen. Nobody that knows the Lord should be saying that stuff. Okay?
Amen.
Nobody that knows the Lord, nobody who claims Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior should be sitting in here today saying, well, you know, I'm in an impossible situation. Well, with God, nothing is impossible. So either you right or God, and God is wrong, or God is right and you wrong, and I'm a side with God.
Amen.
Okay? There's nothing impossible going on in any of our lives that God can't deal with. Now, I sit here and talk to folks all the time and talking to a young man at work and him and his wife going through and they going through. And is it impossible to? Well, it's impossible for you. It's impossible for me and her to work these things out because what has already happened. Well, you know what? With God, nothing's impossible.
Amen.
They don't like hear that. Okay? I don't say, folks, I'm in an impossible situation. Well, you ain't in no more situation than Lazarus was in. Lazarus was in dead and in the grave for 4 days, and God raised him. And you tell me your problem's too big for God.
Amen.
All the Egyptians was chasing all the Israelites, chasing them all into the borders of the Red Sea. And God parted the Red Sea, and they walked over in dry land. that kind of God. Amen. And you telling me that your problems is bigger than the Red Sea? Here's Mary, knowing all that. Mary knew what kind of God he was. And here's what Mary said. Now watch this down. And Mary said, now some of us would have, listen, Lord, I got things I'm doing. You know, I'm busy. I just got an interview for a new job. I'm supposed to be moving over here. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. Mary didn't say that. Mary said, behold. That's a different behold. You know, we talk about, you know, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay? All things that pass away, behold. Look at me now. This is a different behold. What Mary's saying is, behold, I am yours. You do with me whatever you want to do. That's what this behold means. She says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Okay? Now, you're not going to learn this at Ursula or Cardinal Mooney. Okay? They take this out. It's not in there. Amen. But here's what Mary's saying. I am a servant of the Lord. Okay? I am not to be worshipped. I am not to be exalted. I am a handmaid. The lowest position possible.
Amen.
Okay? I am the one that will be sitting at the door. When you walk in with your stinking, dirty, sand-covered feet, I'm going to wash them. And I'm going to wash between your toes and I'm going to wash do good. That's what a handmaid did. He said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And let me tell you something, folks. If you're here today and you saved, and you say Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, you're a handmaid.
Wow.
I'm a handmaid. Can do what the Lord tell me to do. And Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Okay? According to thy word. Whatever you want me to do. Okay? See, radical faith and radical obedience don't argue with the call of God. Doesn't argue with the call of God. See, well, we got a bunch of folks in the church that argue with the call of God. Arguing, God told me to do it, I can't do it. Not on Tuesday, not on Thursday, not on Friday. I'm not busy, got things to do. It's too late, too dark, too cold, too long. Listen, let me talk about the power of God. What faith, what believing faith does. See, we got two kinds of faith. You know, you got a faith that don't do nothing. And James said that's not faith. Faith that don't work is not faith.
Amen.
Okay? Faith believes in the power of God. Okay? And it's going to do something. It's not going to just sit idle. You can sit here, I got faith, and I'm just sitting idle. That's not faith.
Amen.
You know, you can, you know, how many here believe China's a country? Everybody. But the fact that we believe that China's a country doesn't affect nothing that we do.
Amen.
It means nothing when we believe China's a country. And some of us, I believe in God, but it doesn't affect our lives at all. That our belief doesn't have an impact on our lives at all. It's just empty words.
Amen.
See, empty words. It's like R. Kelly said, I believe I can fly. We know he can't fly. But we like the song. Okay? I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. And we just start, all of, you know, right now, you just, you know, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And it doesn't mean nothing.
Uh-huh.
Still cussing, arguing, fight. Still hating folks. Still got folks. Right now, you need to say I'm sorry to you, Cain. I ain't going there. Christmas season. Now see, but radical faith, radical obedience is ready to submit to God.
Amen.
It's ready to submit to God.
Amen.
It is ready. I mean, this Lord, this let me give you some. Let me give you some. I got so much. It's Christmas Eve. I ain't gonna keep y'all here this long. But think about this. think about. I don't even know where to start. So good. Here's the father of faith. No better way to start than the father of faith. And godly faith and radical obedience don't ask questions. Now watch this now. I'm in Genesis 22. And I'm going to read a lot of Bible verses today. Because they kind of stand on their own. So if you stay with me, it'll be good. If you grab a Bible, Genesis ain't hard to find. It's the first book of the Bible. Okay? Okay? So here's the father of faith. Now God has called him to do something. Okay? And he's called him to do something. And it says in Genesis 22:1. And it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Behold, there's thy word again. I'm your servant. Your servant is here. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac. Making sure he didn't take the other one. He probably wanted to. Take thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. He making sure he got the right son. Whom thou lovest. Okay? He didn't want him to take, what's the other one's name? He didn't want him to take Ishmael up there and say, well, you know, I got the signals crossed. So God is making sure that he knew which one to take. Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You know, radical faith. Radical faith leaves the details up to God. Okay? See, we get caught up in the details. And then we get caught up in the details and all the minutiae. And then we just weasel our way out of a call of God or our son God calls us to do. Okay? Now watch. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. You notice something yet? He didn't ask no questions. He's just doing what God called him to do. And Abraham said unto his young man, Abide ye here with thy ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Still ask no questions. Because he's a father of faith, and he's got radical obedience. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his son, his father. His Isaac, he's no something strange is going on here. Okay? Because he didn't done this before, but they didn't done it with an ox or a bullock. Okay? Or a ram. He says, my father. And he said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold. This is a different kind of behold here. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? We got a problem here, father. Son missing. Okay, I'll stay with me because the story. And they came to the place. Wait a minute, verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Radical faith. Radical faith. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told of him. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to his son. Now you see his son has already got the faith of his father. Okay? Because I'd have been rolling down that mountain. Okay? Y'all see what's happening here. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. Wait a minute now. I'm skipping the verses. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was being obedient. Radical obedience. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. Now I know that thou hast radical faith, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son.
Yeah.
And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Listen, folks. Radical faith leaves the details up to God. God didn't give Abraham no details. Just told him what he needed to do. Okay? Radical obedience or radical faith, you have challenges and it has threats, and you're going to have hazards and you're going to get in some trouble. See, and we when God calls us to do something, we don't like to get in trouble. We don't like to get in trouble. I'm going to tell you another story. I'm going to read some more. And it's in Daniel. Turn to the book of Daniel. We see these three Hebrew boys with radical faith. Radical faith, radical obedience. And the church don't have this. And the church is missing radical obedience because we dancing to everything. Okay?
Amen.
We dancing and we doing everything the world wants us to do. And the radical faith is going to do what only God calls us to do. Amen. There's a cost involved in serving God. I don't want to mix words.
Amen.
Okay, I'm like Jesus. When Jesus was, well, I'm not like Jesus like that. I'm just his Jesus. Here's Sylvia with a sinister laugh. So here's Jesus, and he's got all these folks following him in John 6, and everybody following him. Think about the big church. Think about the mega churches. Think about Rick Warren and Osteen and Jake. They got all these folks following them. Now, how many? Nobody in here believe all them folks are saved.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
How many know if I went down to the potter's house and they said preach here for 6 months, it'll look just like this? Okay. And they won't be taking up 5 offerings.
Uh-huh.
And I'll still be driving that Prius. It's the cause involved. And see, Jesus didn't want people following him for the wrong reasons.
Uh-huh.
And they was following Jesus because he was feeding them, and they was following him. And he turned to him and said, listen, let me tell you something. It's more to it than what y'all think. If you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you something. You might die. How many times have I told you everybody, the author of the book, author of the Bible died, all the prophets were murdered, all the apostles were killed. It's going to cost you something. I don't want you to think you're going to follow Jesus and it ain't going to cost you nothing. It's going to cost you your girlfriend if she ain't saved. Okay, it's going to cost you your boyfriend if he don't know the Lord. Okay, and it may cause you some problems in your home. Okay, your wife might be mad at you and your husband may be mad at you, and it is what it is. And I don't want them to be mad at you because you're making them pass your chocolate cakes. You know, that's not why they're going to be mad at you. They're going to be mad at you because you're serving God.
Uh-huh.
You're serving God, and you ain't getting high with them no more. You ain't drinking with them no more. And you happy they closed the Southern Tavern. So here's the three Hebrew boys. And they got a situation. They got a situation because they are under attack. But their faith, because it's radical, can withstand the attacks. I love this story. I'm in Daniel chapter 3. I almost have to start from verse number 8. Bear with me. You get all your Bible reading in for the month. Okay? He says in verse 8 of Daniel, he said, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. These four Jews, the three Hebrew boys and Daniel, and they spake and said unto King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. O king, thou hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, little g, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. God bless them. God's power be with them. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He loved these guys. They was blessing his country. Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, radical faith, radical obedience. Now, if you be ready at, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image that I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, now Nebuchadnezzar be nice. This is as nice as he can be. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that capital G God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Radical faith. And now Nebuchadnezzar needs these boys. These boys are the cream of the crop. And the only reason they're there, Nebuchadnezzar's wise, is because they are hated by the Chaldeans. Because you got Jews running the country, and the country is prospering. The country's prospering. Now here in verse 16, I had to catch my breath. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. Okay? Radical obedience. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Now, radical faith and obedience. We're not worried about the details. But if not, asking from the body present with the Lord. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king. Let's spill a little hint of sarcasm there. But radical faith can do that in the midst of death. Radical faith can stand bold. That's why I preach so hard to you guys. I want you to stand when you know you're in the deathbed, and we all gonna be on the deathbed one day. And you're on your faith. You can still stand on your faith. You can still stand on your faith. You can say just what these little boys said. You can say just what these three young men said. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Nebuchadnezzar ain't never heard nobody talk to him like that all his life. He ain't never heard nobody talk to him like that. He said, y'all must be crazy. I'm Nebuchadnezzar. Yep. Oh, and he got heated. Oh, he got heated. Now the nice Nebuchadnezzar today was in verse 13. Okay? Now here we go. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fires. Let me tell you something. Radical faith will have you in some fires. Okay. This is why it's so important. Now, some folks, you go to some churches and say, let's come to Jesus. You know, they spend 20, 30 minutes on altar call. Come to Jesus, sit in the magic chairs. And once you sit in the chairs, you're going to heaven. These are heaven chairs. All you got to do is join the church and you're on your way to heaven. And I'm telling you, that's hard to undo. See, that's hard to undo. There's a whole lot of folks that's members of church going to hell and they think they're going to heaven. Because they sit in the magic chairs. Yeah. Come sit in the chairs and give me your name. And what's your name, Sonny? What's your name, honey? What's your name, honey? Okay, you're on your way to heaven now because you joined this church. Some people even teach if you leave, you go to hell if you leave the church. Let me tell you something. These men are in hot water. They're in fire now. But you know what? They didn't worry about the details. God's going to save them because they got radical faith. And God's going to deliver them. And he says this in verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty man. We covered that. Verse 21. And these men were bound in their coats, in their hose, and in their hats, and in their other garments. These were Jews. They had little hats on. How about that? And were cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame slew those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. And these three men, Shadrach and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. So I'm going to stop there, because I want to talk about Noah for a minute, because he got some radical faith too. But radical faith will get you in some trouble. So I want y'all to sit here and say, oh, you know, I got trouble for life. If you got trouble for life, you probably don't have radical faith. Okay? If you got trouble for life and ain't nobody wanting to cut your head off, and ain't nobody wanting to cut your head off, not because, I'm talking about because of your faith, not because you owe the money or something. Radical faith, okay, will get you in trouble. Mary knew what she was getting into. Mary knew what she was getting into. Mary said, here I am, thy handmaid. Do whatever you want to do with me. I'm yours. And that's what you say when you come to the Lord. When you come to the Lord, you say to the Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Okay? And I know it's going to cost me something. I know it's going to be pain involved. Remember Paul? Paul wanted a pain-free Christianity. And a lot of folks like Paul. Paul learned from his lessons. We learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's Paul. Paul said, I went to the Lord three times. I wanted my whatever it was. I had a thorn. Paul said, something was bothering Paul. We don't know what it was. We can only take guesses. But Paul said, I went to the Lord three times and besought the Lord three times that he might depart from me, that it might depart from me, whatever this problem was. Okay? And he said unto me, the Lord, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what Paul said after that? Hear what he said. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. How about that? And reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. How about that? How about that? Listen, radical obedience will get you out of your comfort zone. Let me tell you something. Some of us are so comfy. Oh, we're so comfy. We're not going to do anything that's going to get us out of our comfort zone. Let me tell you something. When they called me, and I was in my comfort zone. I'm working at Trumbull Correctional, and I'm sergeant. I'm like number 9 on the seniority roster. 450 people out there. I'm like number 9. Okay, whatever I wanted to do, anywhere I wanted to go. I had the best job out there, the most cushy job, a 15-minute drive. Worked any shift I wanted to work, came and went, had the best supervisor, did whatever I wanted to do. You know what God said? Now I need you to go to Massillon. I said, I got a need for you in Massillon. I said, Massillon, I ain't never been to Massillon. I ain't never been to Massillon. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable here. I got the unit closest to the gate. In the wintertime, I'm like 30 steps and I'm right where I'm at and locked in a room. Making all the money I want to make. He said, I want you to go to Massillon. Now, if I wasn't willing to get out of my comfort zone, God couldn't use me.
Amen.
There's a story of Philip in Acts chapter 8. Here's Philip. You know, Jerusalem is a nice place. Then Jerusalem is a capital of Israel, and it's a nice place. It's beautiful in Jerusalem. It's beautiful. Tourists go there. It's beautiful. Now here's Philip. And the Bible says in Acts 28:26, it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that go down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now what was happening here? They had revival had broke out. And there was people being saved in Jerusalem, and it was festive. And God comes to Philip and says, Philip, I need you to go to Gaza. Y'all heard the Gaza Strip? It's a desert. Watch what radical obedience do. Verse 27. Now, if that would have been any of us, okay, we in Jerusalem, probably got the nicest hotel there, and we eating big grapes and leeks and garlic sandwiches. And somebody came, well, you know, we getting ready to send you to Gaza. And wait a minute, that's the desert, ain't it? Yeah, that's the desert. We gonna put up a fight. Look what Philip did. Look at verse 27. Now I'm gonna read 26 just to get to 27, because I want y'all to understand, if you're gonna be used for God, then you gotta have radical faith. You gotta have radical obedience. And here's God speaking, and the angel of the Lord speaking to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And here's his answer. Here's his response. No words involved. And he arose and went. Let me say that again. And he arose and went. Amen. He didn't say, wait a minute, why am I going to Gaza? Why don't you send this dude over here? Why don't you send him? And by him going, the Ethiopian eunuch was able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ back to his home country because of what he did. Because of his obedience. Because of his radical faith. Because of his radical faith. Now I want to read one more long verse. One more long scripture. I got to read this one. I have to read this one. I would feel like I felt totally if I didn't read y'all this scripture. And it's in Genesis, so it's not hard to find. This is the first book of the Bible, Genesis 6. Okay, now this is radical obedience at the highest level, okay? Now remember, it had never rained before. It never had rained before, okay? Now, what God has asked Noah to do was serious. Noah, and Noah took God serious. Amen. Genesis 6:11. Please read along with me. And here it is. In the earth, this is talking about, if you didn't know it, you think I was talking about America right now today. Okay? You think I was just reading out of the USA Today or the Youngstown Vindicator. But I'm not. This is the Bible. This is like written thousands of years ago. It said, and the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. It's not like Mahoney County, Trumbull County. Okay? And it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. Radical obedience, radical faith. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Let me read that again. I will destroy them with the earth. Okay? Now he's gonna give Noah some serious instructions. In annoying radical, he's gonna say, hey, listen, I'm out. Okay? He gives Noah these instructions in verse 14. Now, when we read through this, think about where you would interrupt God at and say, I'm out. Here's Noah. Okay? Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall be made in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with the lower, the second, and the third story shall thou make it. Noah ain't stopped and interrupted yet. And behold, I do bring floodwaters upon the earth. Now, I ought to probably stop and say, what is that? To destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Some of us would say, why? But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Still, no, just, that's what a servant do. Servants don't ask questions.
Amen.
Servant don't sit here and start, oh, raise their hand. Oh, wait a minute. Got a problem with that. Got a problem with the dimensions. Got a problem with the pitch. What kind of pitch you want us to use? See, we ain't get caught up in the details. See? Radical faith, obedience, don't get caught up in the details. Let God be God. Okay? God said it, that settles it. And God tell you to do it, he's going to work it out. He's not going to tell you to do something you got to work out yourself. How much sense does that make? Where did I stop? 19. Now here's the part. Just get ready to get real creepy right here. Watch this now. And then now he got his wife's with thee. And he said, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort thou shalt bring unto the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after the air. Well, how are we going to catch the birds? And of cattle of every kind after their kind. And of every creepy thing. Now see, some of us, you know, we see a worm. Every creepy thing of the earth after his own kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Now watch this now. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Okay. Gave him divine instructions. Noah never heard. How am I going to make a boat? How? And he never heard none of that. Where am I going to get the wood for? This, how long is this going to take? It may take 125 years. God, you didn't hear him say none of that. Okay? People going to call me a fool. Make a boat and never rain. You didn't hear none of that. And they did call him a fool. They mocked him the whole time he was making until he shut the door. Until God shut the door. Okay? See, radical faith will be mocked. Radical faith will be humiliated. We're so worried about our image. Oh, if I say I'm a Christian, oh, I'd rather go to hell than be ostracized. And I'd rather go to hell than people think I'm a Bible thumper. Thump on. Thump on. I'm going to thump my way into hell. You're going to thump for God or you're going to thump for the devil? You're going to thump for somebody. Okay? Now, Noah said, he didn't say nothing. Deacon Jeremy, he didn't say nothing. Look at verse 22. And God gave him all that. Now, we got a whole lot of questions. We come to a business meeting, we would have 1,000 questions. Where are we going to put it at? We're going to face it this way, face it that way, face it this way. What color? What building? Who are we going to get to do it? Radical faith, don't worry about the details.
Amen.
Look at verse 22. This is a tremendous verse. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Don't worry about details. Don't worry about details. Let me tell you. Listen.
Can I give you one more?
It's Christmas Eve. I don't even know which one to give you. Let me give you Joshua. Turn with me to Joshua. This is another one that's fantastic. I'm gonna wrap it up. Honestly, I'm gonna wrap it up. Whew. Joshua 6. Now, let me talk about radical obedience. We talk about Joshua. And he's talking about Jericho. We get ready to talk about these walls coming down. Okay? And he now it says in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1. He said, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went in and none went out. Folks was just locked behind the walls, scared, because they knew that God's people was on the move. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given thee thy hand, Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, ye all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Okay. Now, Baptist folks, we be, why 6 days? Why not once to do? Why we got to do this 6 times? My feet going to hurt. I got a knee replacement, and my knee gonna hurt, my hip hurt. I ain't gonna be able to see. I just had cataract surgery. Snake that one in there. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. In the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Now God's given Joshua instructions. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. How about that? Now, here's Joshua. Here's his response to God's directions. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. Let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets and the ram's horn passed before the Lord and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them, and the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the rear word came after the ark and the priests going on and the blowing of the trumpets. My point is, Joshua did exactly what God told him to do. That's what radical faith does. Radical faith don't worry about the details. Don't worry about the results, because we so result oriented. If it ain't packed, it ain't successful. That's a lie from the pits of hell.
Amen.
Okay? If it ain't jam packed, if we ain't got a line of people outside, it ain't successful. God will honor your desire more than he will honor the outcome.
Amen.
He will honor your desire. Okay. All right. I have plenty more, but not going to do that. Not going to do that. I'm going to go to this part of it here. I'm going to close. What faith does. What faith can do. How about that? What faith can do. We talk about what faith can do. Okay? What radical faith can do. What radical obedience could do. First of all, we can save your soul. We know that. For by grace are you saved. Radical faith. And Mary knew this, because Mary had it. And everybody that's used of God knows that radical faith will defend you. Radical faith will defend you. How about that? Give me a scripture, Pastor. Taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. How about that? Ephesians 6:16. Do you got your shield? You got a shield of faith? A shield of faith. How about this? Faith, radical faith, radical obedience will strengthen you. How many need strength? I do. How many need to be strengthened? How many need reinforcements? How many know, things around us maybe be collapsing? Okay? Right now I got a roof. My roof of my house got a little buckle in it from the weather, from the wind and the heavy snow. Got to get it fixed. Got to reinforce it. Got to strengthen it. Got to bolster it. Listen, believe in the Lord God, so shall ye be what? Established. If you believe in the Lord, he will strengthen you. He'll give you strength. He'll give you strength. Face them temptations, to face the evil one, to face adversity and trials that come. And they coming. They coming. We always say you either in trouble, heading for trouble, or just getting out. Okay? Deal with it. Radical faith will heal your family. Some of us got family troubles, got family issues, got problems. Okay? Proverbs 14:11 say the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. Let me say that again. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright, the tabernacle of those who have radical faith and believe in God, shall flourish. Proverbs 14:11.
Amen.
Faith will heal different things. Okay. Faith will move mountains. How about that? Y'all know that verse. You have faith of a what? A mustard seed. You shall be able to say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. We're not talking about literal mountains, but some of our issues, some of our problems seem like mountains to us. But with God, All things are possible. All things are possible. Listen, folks. I know that wasn't your typical Christmas message. But Mary had radical obedience, radical faith. And what a great story. Amen. And Mary is our example. And Mary says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." You know what happened when she said that? The Bible said the angel departed. The angel departed because Mary was where she needed to be. Mary was in a position to be used greatly by God. The reason why you hear messages like that, because we have to be in a position to be used greatly by God. God wants us to be obedient. He wants us to have that radical faith. How do you get it? You get it on your knees. God, give me radical faith. Give me the faith that you hear. I heard Pastor talking about today. I got stuff I need to deal with. I got places. I got things I need to do, and I can't do it with all this stuff. Help me, Lord. That's a plea. Help me, Lord. I say it all the time. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Amen.